Let's sign him up. One, two. Plays that piano like a preacher's kid, doesn't he? My, my. Good evening. It's good to be with you in the house of the Lord. I want to thank our Lord and our pastor for his generosity in preaching God's word tonight. If you have a Bible, turn with me now, won't you? To Luke chapter 9. Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 9, we begin in verse 23. Luke, chapter 9, verse 23. And I want to speak on this subject tonight. Follow Jesus. Luke, chapter 9, verse 23 and following. Wonderful music. I'm praying Dwayne gets a little enthusiasm, amen? We'll appeal to you, Sister Jackie, to straighten him out tonight, amen? If you have your place now, and those who are able, will you stand for the reading of God's Word? I've got a Bible here that has a little heading on it. Mine says, take up the cross and follow him. Does anybody else have a heading on this paragraph? What is it? Dan, what is yours? Pastor? Okay. Well, you get the idea then. Then he said to them all. He didn't leave anybody out. Okay? If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words of him, the Son of Man, will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. And may God bless unto us the reading of his word. You may be seated. Let's pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just pray and thank you for the opportunity to worship you in the beauty of holiness. I pray this very moment, Lord, that you would use me now for the welfare of those who listen to your word and for your glory. I pray you'd fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. Prepare my heart and the heart of those who listen to hear from you this night. We believe you'll honor our request, Lord, because we ask you to, in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Follow Jesus. In the early ministry, beloved, of our Lord Jesus Christ, one of the very first things our Lord did was call people to follow him. In Matthew chapter 4, there are a couple of accounts we'll point to tonight to illustrate that. You remember the first one beginning there in verse 18 or so of Matthew 4. Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee, the word says, and he saw two brothers fishing, Peter and Andrew. And he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And the word of God says, immediately they left their nets and they followed him. And then just a few verses later, the word says, our Lord going on from there saw two brothers, James and John, the son of Zebedee. And they were in the boat with their earthly father. And the word of God says that Jesus called them and immediately They left the boat and their father, and they followed him. Now, friends, our scripture that we look at this very day gives an indication that our Lord is calling us. Oh yeah, make no mistake, he calls us. Yet sometimes you and I say, not quite yet, Lord. I'm not ready to quite follow you, Jesus. I'm just going to hold on to my life for a while, and I'm going to live for self. Yet Jesus says to us, deny ourselves. Take up the cross and follow me. But then he says, as recorded in John 10 and 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now here's the key for us. We're not just to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus. We're to follow the Lord Jesus. And it's obvious all throughout Scripture that there is a clear call of Jesus, and he says we do hear his voice and we do follow him. So just for the next few minutes, I'd like us to consider where we follow him, when we follow him, and how we follow him. And to me, it's obvious, beloved, that he calls everyone who names the name of Jesus, my sheep, that's how he says it, hear my voice and follow me. Well, I want to look just for the next few minutes at 5 days of the Lord's earthly ministry, just 5 days right prior to the cross. A snapshot, if you will, of our Lord's earthly ministry to see exactly where he expects us to follow him. And the very first place, you'll recall, was the Lord asked us to follow him to the upper room. Now you can look tonight before you go to bed. It's a wonderful read in John chapter 13 verses 1 through 15 about that experience. But Jesus says, follow me to the upper room and I am going to give you a servant's heart. Now I want you to get the picture of the upper room. Just a few days then, right before Jesus died, his hour had come. He was with the ones that he loved. He was ready to be with the Father. But he loved the followers, the Word of God says, to the end. And one of his last audiences with the 12 that very moment, those he had invested his life in, and one of them, the Word of God reminds us, was a traitor. Get the picture of the upper room. Our Lord would take off his coat. He would get on his knees before the folk, and he'd begin washing the feet of the 12. I want you to get the picture, beloved, of what was going on that moment in the upper room. The Son of the living God, perfect humanity and perfect deity, on his knees washing the feet of the 12. The one who created their feet was washing their feet. And John 13 and 14 records for us, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. The Word of God says in verse 15 of John 13, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Now let me ask you, beloved, what's an example? It's what we're to follow. Jesus says, I wash your feet, you wash me. Jesus says, wash one another. Pardon me. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, means you got to have a servant's heart. Now, Jesus taught the greatest people in the kingdom of God is a person who is a servant. Have you figured it out yet? The key is the joy of following Jesus is when you have a servant's heart. Matthew 23 and 11, but he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. A servant, after all, is one who loves people. A servant, after all, is one who listens to people. And a servant, after all, is one who cares about people. And catch this now. And to the best of his ability, with the opportunity and resources that the Lord has provided, he cares for others. That's the story of the Good Samaritan, isn't it? The one who, by the way, didn't pass on the other side and went over and saw the victim. What did the Good Samaritan do? Well, he got down, he stopped, he cleaned the wounds, he bandaged them, he put the crime victim up on the beast of burden, he went to the local inn for food and shelter, and the Word of God says he paid the innkeeper all that was owed. He did what he could with the opportunity and resources that God provided. Now listen, I know it's easy to wash some people's feet. Pastor, it's easy to serve the lovable, isn't it? But you know, our Lord says, wash them all. Our Lord says, if you and I are going to, if you're going to follow me, you need a servant's heart and you need to wash them all. Do you get the idea there in the upper room? Our Lord had washed the feet of James and John and Peter, but he also washed the feet of Judas, the one who would betray him with a kiss for 30 pieces of silver. Oh, it's easy to serve the lovable. Our Lord says, serve them all. Now, for the Baptist purists in the crowd tonight, one who supplies the pulpit here understands there's only two ordinances given by our Lord, baptism and Lord's Supper. But foot washing really is a wonderful illustration of a servant's heart. I've had my feet washed before. It's humbling. I've washed people's feet before. Humbling. Our Lord says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And the first place he says to follow him is to the upper room, because we want to gain a servant's heart. Beloved, you and I will never experience the joy and the peace that Jesus wants us to have until we follow Jesus to the upper room and gain a servant's heart. Well, we're looking at 5 days of our Lord's earthly ministry. He says, follow me, and we followed him to the upper room, and we've gained a servant's heart. But in the second place, he wants us to follow him to Gethsemane. Now, you remember Gethsemane, a place where you gain a surrendered heart. And just before going to Gethsemane, Jesus told his disciples while going to the cross, he was going to suffer and he was going to die. Then in verse 31, Jesus told the disciples that all will scatter. And he began to be sorrowful. And the Word of God says he began to be deeply distressed. I wonder how distressed. Maybe enough to bleed sweat drops of blood? He instructs those closest, those who could understand him the best, to stay right here. Right here. And watch and pray. This story, for your information, is best seen in Matthew chapter 26, in my view. And three times Jesus prayed. He's in the garden. He's sweating drops of blood. He's praying and praying and praying three times that the cup would pass. But nevertheless, not my will be done, Lord, but your will be done. He surrendered to the will of the Lord. We sang tonight in the praise choruses. By the way, a wonderful praise team. Amen. Amen. Talking about surrendered. Now here's a trap for us. Here's a freebie for you tonight. I want to say this. I think this is kind of overflow stuff, Pastor. You and I get surrendered and committed mixed up.
That's right. Amen.
Now you know, if you get committed, you could do some things. And if you get committed, you can get some things accomplished. But the whole idea behind commitment is I-centered. I will lose weight. I will quit sugar. I will grow hair on my head. Now, some of you can't do that. Amen. Jesus doesn't say, follow me and get committed to me. He says, follow me and get surrendered. A surrendered heart. In other words, our Lord demonstrated the surrendered heart because he said this, well, no matter what I see my Father do, no matter what I hear my Father say, I always want to do the will of the Father. Yes, he saw the guilt of the cross, the sin of the cross, the separation, the agony, the shame of the cross. And he said, oh, Father, if there be any way this cup could pass for me. Yet he surrendered just the same to the will of the Lord. And the key is the surrendered heart is the only way to follow Jesus. Number one, yes, a servant's heart, but number two, a surrendered heart. The person that does the will of God abides forever, because the only thing that is eternal after all is the will of God, and the world passes away and all the world's lust. And Jesus said, follow me. Where, Lord? To the place of complete surrender. The Word of God says the will of our Lord is good. The will of our Lord is perfect. The will of our Lord is acceptable. The will of our Lord is eternal. But it is not painless. Absolute surrender. In other words, that we choose the will of God no matter what it costs. We're following Jesus now. We're just looking at 5 days of his ministry. We follow him first to the upper room and getting a servant's heart. We follow him second to the Garden of Gethsemane and gain a surrendered heart. But then in the third place, we follow him to Golgotha, which is a place of the skull. Your best reference is Matthew chapter 27 and beginning in verse 33. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, seminary professors say it's pronounced Golgotha. I never got used to it. Learned it as Golgotha. How about you?
Amen.
But it doesn't matter. The reality of it is it's the place of the skull. And Golgotha is the place where Jesus teaches us to follow him, listen, with a sacrificial heart. A surrendered heart? Yeah. A servant's heart, number one? Sure. But a sacrificial heart. And that's just how our Lord lived, and that's just how our Lord demonstrated to us. Our Lord sacrificed like none other. Isn't that right? The one who was born of a virgin, the one who lived a sinless life, the one who healed people, the one who raised the dead, the one who loved like no other man ever loved, the one who ministered like no other man could ever minister, the one who taught like no one has ever taught. Never has there been anyone like him And the Word of God says they crucified him. How about it tonight, beloved? Do you have a sacrificial heart? Golgotha is a place of sacrifice. Golgotha is a place where you die, and you die to yourself. And Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you must die to self, take your place on the cross, lose your life so that I can live and have my life through you. Take your place with me, Jesus says, on Golgotha, and let me live in you, and you have the abundant life where joy and peace is. That's what our Lord says. It's one thing to have a servant's heart. It's one thing to have a surrendered heart. But it's quite another, beloved, to have a sacrificial heart. So the Lord says, follow me. Follow me to the upper room. Follow me to Gethsemane. Follow me to Golgotha. And then our Lord says, follow me to the tomb. Because I want you to have resurrection life. That's how the Lord put it. The empty tomb. The Apostle Paul said it this way, do you recall? I want to know Jesus in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Boy, we're all for the power of his resurrection. We're not so quick to be in the fellowship of his suffering. But we want that resurrection power because that's what let us overcome in this world. The resurrection power is what let us get it done. The one that lets us get it through. Romans 6 and 5 reminds us that we die with him and we live with him. For the word of God says, if we have been united together in the likeness, listen, of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. The power of his resurrection, as recorded for us in Philippians 3 and 8. Yet indeed I also, Paul says, count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Boy, have you lost all things and then have you counted it as rubbish just the same? Aren't we supposed to follow Jesus? Isn't that the deal after all? Gosh, if we do, we'll have a servant's heart. And we'll have a surrendered heart. What are you holding on to that keeps you from surrendering to Jesus? And then we'll have a sacrificial heart. And then we can, with that type of heart, we can go to the empty tomb and follow our Lord right there for resurrection life. He said, because I live, you shall live also. Now, you know who that's for? That's for the promise of believers. Follow Jesus. How to have joy and peace. How do you do it? Jesus wants you to have gain a servant's heart, a surrendered heart, a sacrificial heart, and by following the example of Jesus, you'll be able to do just that. You see, you and I have to decide how we want to live our life. I say we just follow Jesus. Jesus says, follow me. After all, he did it all for us anyhow, didn't he? Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. Boy, when he comes, I want to be practiced. Don't you? Follow me. That's what he says. My sheep, not strangers, but those who call and name the name of Jesus. Hear my voice, Jesus says. And I know them, he says. And they follow me. Well, as our musicians come and get ready to take their place, here's the question. Who are you following? Is Jesus just some concept to you, or is he someone worthy of following? Is he your Savior? Yes. Is he your Lord? Well, not so quick. And if he's not your Lord, how come? And if he is your Lord, are you following him? Do you have a servant's heart? Are you surrendered? Do you sacrifice for our Lord's sake? Are you living in the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering? He wants us to have the abundant life. He's promised that he has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But if you're here this very moment and you don't know our Lord in a personal way, yet you realize the Lord's been tugging at your heart, we want to encourage you to follow our Lord tonight in obedience for salvation. What must I do to be saved? Walk the aisle of a Baptist church? No. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But maybe you're here tonight and your salvation is sure in Christ Jesus. But the Lord has spoken to you in a special way this night. You've not been at all a servant's heart, and let alone being surrendered to him. You've been kind of hanging on to your plan instead of surrendering to his. And you've not been willing to sacrifice. And the Lord has spoken to you tonight, and he wants you to come and rededicate your life to him. Still, you may be here. And you want to make this church your church. We have a wonderful Savior, a wonderful pastor, and a wonderful church. This would be the best place for you to serve him. He's arranged it for you to be here. You can come for church membership. So however the Lord has spoken to you tonight, won't you do your business with God? God will bless you. The angels will attend to you. Pastor's here. He'll be here at the end of the way. He'll pray with you. Just, Lord, I come to you. I follow you from this day forward. I'll do what you've been telling me to do that I've been turning a deaf ear to. This is the moment. Right here. Right now. Let's sing.